All right, let's open our Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We'll begin in verse number 3. This message is about comforting others. And so that way when you see it there in those scriptures, you'll be able to hopefully narrow it down. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Notice there, again in verse number 4, or the end of verse 3, God is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. For what purpose? Notice that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. This evening, we want to take a look at this verse and see the comforting that God gives us and how we can take that comfort so that we, in turn, are able to comfort other people. Inevitably, in the Christian life, we are going to go through situations where we need comforting. Perhaps you have needed comforting in the time that you've been saved. Perhaps you have needed comforting in the last week, in the last month, in the last year. Perhaps you know of other people that needed comforting. Maybe you were even one of those people which God used to be able to comfort others. And all those things are good, and what we want to see tonight is that very thing. To comfort someone is to strengthen someone, to invigorate, to cheer, or to enliven. And it's good to see a couple examples in the Bible of people who needed to be comforted. The first one that we want to see is found here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, notice verse number 4, those that need to be comforted are those that are troubled. Notice the God of all comfort who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Job said in Job chapter number 5 and verse number 7, man is born unto trouble. Because of sin and the fallen world that we're in, we are born into trouble. From the time that we're born, we're going to go through trouble. Whether that trouble comes because of some of the decisions that we make or because of the devil or because of other people, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble in your workplace. There's going to be trouble with family, and there's going to be trouble with the insurance, and there's going to be trouble with the alarm system, and there's going to be trouble with all kinds of things. Trouble will come, as you already know. However, you and I are comforted of God, and in turn are able to comfort others that are in trouble. There are some things that you have gone through, some trouble that you have gone through, and when you see others going through the same trouble, immediately you recognize, you know what, I've been through that. And this is how God got me through it. And you're able to maybe go to that person and provide that comfort by showing them, by telling them, by instructing them, by showing them in the Bible, by example, whatever it is, and show them, listen, I've been where you've been, and this is what worked for me. And you're able to comfort others, and they receive instruction, and maybe they also are able to get out of that trouble with the same examples that you give them. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. There's going to be trouble. If you're not going through trouble now, trouble will come. And God intends for you, when you go through trouble and you get past that trouble, to be able to comfort others that are going through trouble also. And we can be a great comfort by finding those people. They may be as close as in your home, and they may be as far away as in a different country, but it doesn't make a difference. You can help those that are in trouble. You can comfort them. All right, the second thing is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Not only those that are in trouble need to be comforted, but those that are discouraged need to be comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. And look at verse number 7. So that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him. And what? And comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So this person is going through much sorrow. And Paul tells the church in Corinth, not only that you ought to rather forgive him, but to comfort him. But who is it talking about here? It's talking about the person in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, the fornicator that took his father's wife. And if you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at verse number 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice this, verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Look at verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Notice, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Paul's very clear as to what he wants the church to do regarding this man in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. He says, first of all, verse number 5, we're going to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And then in verse number 11, I want you to put him away. I want you to even eat with him. You're not going to hang around with him. You're not going to talk to him. We're going to do this church discipline and we're going to get him out. Okay, so then we see in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 that person later on repents. The church brings them back in, and really the purpose of that was so that there could be a reconciliation so that he can come back after he repents, or after he repented from his sin. And that's when Paul writes and he says, comfort him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 7. Why? Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So this person was obviously very discouraged. This man had already been delivered unto Satan. He had already felt the shame and the embarrassment, as you can imagine, for getting all the attention and for being disciplined by the church. And just imagine being in that situation. Is the church going to receive me? Are they not going to receive me? What are they going to think of me? Is Paul really going to forgive me? Are those people going to hold a grudge? What? I've put to shame the church. I've put to shame Paul. This is what I've done is not good. You can think of all the things that are going on in his mind. This man had not only hurt Paul and his testimony, but he had hurt the church and the testimony of the church, and he needed to be comforted not only by Paul, but by that very church. So when Paul writes, he says, comfort him. So the person here that needs to be comforted is a person that's discouraged. And maybe you know somebody that's discouraged. And maybe you can provide a word of comfort for them also. Not only that, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Those that need to be comforted are those that are in trouble, those that are discouraged, and then those that are cast down. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and look at verse number 4. Paul speaking here says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Paul here is essentially talking about that first epistle that he had written to them regarding this man that we just talked about. And as you can see there in verse number 4 and verse number 5, you see everything that Paul's going through. And he's going through from without were fightings and from within were fears. And if you just recount the life of Paul, you know all the things that he went through. And if anybody needed comfort, it was the Apostle Paul. He was disliked by many. He was belittled. He was criticized, he was attacked, he was slandered. And yet, you notice here what it says in verse number 6, nevertheless God, that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us. How? By the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us, notice, your earnest desire, your mourning. The church evidently initially did not want to repent and did not want to throw away this man or throw out, not throw him away. They didn't want to throw out the man in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. In fact, what they were doing is, when Paul writes to them, he says this, and ye are puffed up. He knew the sin that they were in. And he said, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned. Not only that, in verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good. They were glorying about this thing as if it was somehow okay to be going through this. And it wasn't okay. Yet Paul was comforted by Titus, and more specifically by the word that he received from the church in Corinth. He was cast down by the actions of the church, those things that were reported commonly, yet he was comforted in God's answer of his prayer. Obviously, he's praying for the church to recognize that it was wrong and to repent. And when Titus comes back and he brings word and he says, they have repented. And he goes through that deal there in verse number 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. And then ye sorrowed, but you sorrowed to repentance. So it may have hurt a little, but the purpose got accomplished. You repented. And when he heard that from Titus, Paul was comforted. So Paul was cast down, but he was comforted by God from his prayers being answered. And then the last thing is this. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Those that need to be comforted are those that are in trouble, those that are discouraged, those that are cast down, and then also those that are weak. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And look at verse number 4. I'm sorry, verse number 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. The feeble-minded need comfort. What does it mean, a person that's feeble-minded? That's somebody that's weak. It could be somebody that's destitute of physical strength. It could be somebody that's debilitated physically, somebody who's faint-hearted, somebody who's discouraged or disappointed, somebody who fears a difficult situation. And those people in the church are usually overlooked. And they're on the sidelines and they're despised. However, instead of doing that, they should be comforted. They should be encouraged. And they should be assured. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 22, Paul says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And people that other members, oftentimes in churches, and I'm not saying that's the case here, but in churches, people that are the ones that are recognized, people that are ones that are looked at are the ones that maybe have good speech, maybe have a good career, maybe have certain position, maybe whatever the case might be. And oftentimes those that are feeble-minded, those that are older, those that are overlooked, and it shouldn't be the case. And yet, not only do all of us need comfort, but especially those that are weak, those that are feeble-minded. I can remember a time, and I don't tell you this story to boast. I don't need an approval of man. I tell you this story so that you understand how simple it is to comfort the feeble-minded. You remember Glenda, close to the end of her life. I went to go visit her. And I just sat. And we just talked. Glenda was, if you knew Glenda, she did most of the talking anyways. And she said, you want some candy? I said, yeah, I'll take some candy. You want some more candy? Sure, I'll take some more candy. Okay, move that over there. Okay, pick that up, put it over there. Okay, so now I'm working. And she says, you know, she tells me some stories about our kids and about the kids that were in her grade. She just loved those kids, teaching those kids. And I just sat there, and it was there for about an hour and a half, and she talked, and I listened, and I said a couple things, and she laughed, and we both laughed. And I've done that with many people, just like you've done that with many people. And listen, comforting the feeble-minded is that simple. It's just showing up, being a friendly face, saying a couple jokes, saying something. Those people are usually left to themselves, and don't have much company, so they appreciate anyone that can show up and do that for them. So if you look back in your Christian life, you'll realize that God has used other people in your life to comfort you. Just like God has used you to comfort others also. We don't say that so that you take the credit and you say, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that one time. I didn't tell you that story for that reason either. I'm just telling you, that's the way God does it. We read here that he comforts us so that with that comfort, we are able to comfort others that are in need also. And so there's opportunities all the time. If we go by people, we'll miss them. Maybe you have missed some people that you could have given a word of encouragement, that you could have given a word of God or whatever the case might be and be able to comfort them, but you missed out. Well, oh well. It's not about the past. It's about looking for other opportunities. There are people in your life that are troubled, that are discouraged, that are cast down, and that are weak. And God can use you to be a comfort to them also if we keep our eyes open, even if we pray and ask God to put those people in our path. Amen? Father, help us please with the things that we heard tonight. Lord, you're certainly the best comforter there is in our lives. You've sent us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God that's in us, and that will be with us until we die or until you come back. Lord, there's no better comfort than that, but yet also we go through some things in which you comfort us, and with that, we're able to comfort others. So help us please, Lord, as we go through these things, to not forget those times in which you comfort us so that we, when we see others going through something like that, might be able to stop and comfort them also. Not so that we can get the credit, but so that we can be a help to them. And if we help them, we know you can help them too. So we ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.